Good morning, Honey Ridge family. It's my privilege to be able to share a brief devotion this morning as we continue in the season of lockdown. If you were to take stock of the last 12 days of your lockdown, what would best describe your life? Perhaps for the students, it's been boredom. Well, I'm sure for their parents, it's been exhaustion. Maybe you've taken this time to build a routine, read some books, or develop some better habits. But if we were to really search our hearts, would holy ever be used to describe our lives during lockdown? Although we live in unique times, this command to be holy, as God is holy, has never changed. And so it's worth evaluating our lives and asking if amongst all the shopping, preparing, cleaning, schoolwork, uni projects, financial concerns, and everything else, has holiness perhaps slipped by the wayside? Well, what we'll look at in the book of 1 Peter this morning is a short section in which Peter calls the exiles, God's chosen people, to holy living. And we'll be focusing on chapter 1, verses 13 to 21. I'll be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. Therefore, with your minds ready for action, be sober-minded and set your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires of your former ignorance. But as the one who called you is holy, you also are to be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." If you appeal to the Father, who judges impartially according to each one's work, you are to conduct yourselves with reverence during your time living as strangers, for you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life, inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of an unblemished and spotless lamb. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now I'd like us to consider three ways, according to Peter, that Christians are called to holy living. Firstly, Christians should ready their minds in verse 13. The same Greek word is used here as in the Old King James Version for girding up your loins. This was a process of folding and tucking in all your clothes before battle to be able to be effective, unhindered, and lethal against your enemy. The image painted is that our mindset ought to be as those who are at war, with urgency and a sense of purpose. How can we be sober-minded if we don't plan ahead? No drunkard ever avoided alcohol while sitting at a bar. It would already be too late. Being sober-minded during this lockdown period is far more than picking up our Bibles and hoping that God speaks to us. It's choosing to saturate our minds and hearts with the things of God, being intentional about what we consume and how that affects our actions. In Psalm 119, verse 14 to 16, it says, "I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and think about your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word." If we aren't sober-minded, how can we set our hope with any clarity of thought? While technology has been a blessing throughout this corona pandemic, it's also been the most accessible format for fake news, causing panic and chaos in many people's hearts and minds. This is not being sober-minded. Friends, as Peter says, we should set our hope on the future grace of the return of Jesus, not in the things of this world. So this first command from Peter is for Christians to ready their minds. And like Peter, Paul also writes about the mind in Romans 12 verse 1 and 2, and he hits the same points. Our minds must first change before our actions can change. And so our second point will be that Christians should live as obedient children. Isn't it amazing how quickly we find things to do when we're bored? It's often during times of relative quiet and comfort that we find old habits returning. Well, here from verse 14, Peter's warning to Christians is to not return back to their former way of thinking. God has given new desires, a new heart, a renewed mind, and he calls Christians to be holy in all their conduct. This means that we don't use this time to fold on the principles of God's word and overindulge in worldly things like overeating and drinking, abusing time in technology, or even spending our time worrying about corona. But instead, we commit our ways unto God to direct our paths in holiness in every aspect of our lives. For children, this means that you must be obedient to your parents. For husbands, you must love your wives. For parents, you must not exacerbate your children. For bosses, treat your employees fairly. For employees, work with integrity as the Lord is watching. You see, for Peter, the changed mind and the lifestyle that follows is a reflection, and all reflections can either be clear or fuzzy. And Peter is calling for Christians to be a clear reflection of the gospel. In verses 18 to 21, we are finally reminded that Christians should remember that they have been redeemed. For Peter, it's obvious. The Christian life is lived in response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For us, however, we need reminders, so Peter gives us three. Firstly, in verse 18a, we had to be brought back from the slave market of our own sinful desires. We were happily serving our old master when we were redeemed. In verse 18b, we are not bought with anything of this world. Nothing we can do, no good works or self-righteousness, can add anything to our payment, for everything we had is as dirty rags before God. Thirdly, the only payment that is acceptable was the blood, the very life of Jesus Christ. He alone is the spotless Lamb, the unblemished sacrifice who was foreknown by God before creation, through who we believe God, so that we, like Jesus, will be raised from the dead. Let us remind ourselves that Peter calls these Christians who are in the midst of suffering for the gospel to live holy lives so that the proven character of their faith may result in praise, glory, and honor. Now, while we are not necessarily suffering for the gospel, we are indeed in a time of trial. And if the Lord is gracious and brings this time to an end, will your life bring praise, glory, and honor to God? Let's pray. Our gracious God, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us so much that you have given us your word, that you don't leave us wondering how it is you would have us think and live. Lord, we confess that during times like these, our hearts are put on display. And Lord, what is seen, is clearly seen, is our sin. Lord, we worry, we have anxiety, we have concerns, our hearts are muddled. Lord, our priorities are wrong. Oh Lord, please would you be gracious to us in helping us to ready our minds. Lord, to live as obedient children and to remember that we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, your own Son, who you sent to die for us that we might be bought back. Oh God, we thank you. We thank you that even though now we cannot be meeting together as a church, we thank you, Lord, that you have enabled us to spend much time together through devotions, times with our families in worship and in prayer. Lord, through technology, you have given us the ability to speak and to connect with one another. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we give you all praise for that. We ask, Lord, that we would live lives that are acceptable before you, and that you would be with us as we go. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.